Your Bibles to the 35th chapter of the book of Genesis, Genesis 35. All right, if you will, look there at verse 1. And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all the earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem.
There's a legend that it took Thomas Edison and a team of men 24 hours to make the first functioning light bulb. And the legend says that once it was completed, Edison handed his new light bulb to a young boy with instructions to carry it up the stairs to another room. The little boy had the bulb in his hands and was carefully going up the steps, and when he got near the top, his motor skills were overcome by his nervousness, and you know what happened. He dropped the light bulb and it shattered down the steps. Well, Edison and his team spent another 24 hours assembling the second functioning light bulb. And when it was completed, he handed it to the same boy to carry up the same steps. And this time, he carried it safely through to completion. Edison said, I have not failed. I found 10,000 ways that don't work. And he was willing to give the boy a second chance. Now, I don't know if that story is true, but it ought to be. Amen. I'm glad that our God is a God of second chances. He's a God of mercy, grace, and pardon. In Psalm 103, the Bible says, The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He hold His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Say amen right there. And it says, As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him, for He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Aren't you glad God is gracious, merciful, and willing to give a second chance? He pities His children like any decent father does. When my child makes a mistake, I didn't say if. When my child makes a mistake, I don't disown her. Amen? I correct. Sometimes I overlook. And, you know, that's the problem with those who deny eternal security. They think that when a child of God messes up, God disowns them from the family. But that's never taught in the Word of God. When you're saved forever. When you're a child of God, you're a child of God forever. And though we all make mistakes and we all come short and none of us are what we ought to be, yet God remains our Heavenly Father and He pities His children and remembers that they are but dust. This morning I want to give you some Bible examples of men who were given a second chance, another opportunity to do the will of God. Jacob went back to Bethel. Now Jacob was a young man when he left the promised land. He was self-willed, stubborn, and selfish. He was just as carnal as his brother Esau, but was sneaky about it. You know, some folks, they're very out and open about their sin, and others, they're very good at hiding and concealing it. Now, Jacob and Esau were twins, but no two twins could ever have been as different as Jacob and Esau. One was real hairy, one was real smooth. One loved to be outdoors, one loved to be indoors. One was his father's son, one was his mother's son. And Esau was profane, he was a fornicator, he was a wicked young man. And he sold his birthright, he sold the blessing to his brother for a bowl of beans. But later on, though, Jacob determined that he was going to give Esau his son. By the way, parents, it's never good for you to have his and her children. You're supposed to be all of them, the parents to any of your children, not just your favorite, and you shouldn't even have favorites. Jacob and Esau, Isaac and Rebekah had his son and her son. And when Isaac was determined to give the blessing to Esau, Rebekah went into mother bear mode, you know, to protect her son. And she hatched a plot whereby she convinced Jacob to deceive his father to get back the blessing. And so Jacob put on goat skins and dressed up like Esau and tried to talk deep like Esau. And his father had failing eyesight. And so when Jacob went in there, his father asked him, "Are you Esau?" "Oh, yes, I'm Esau." "Go get me some venison." So he made some venison and brought it to his father. And he said, "You smell like my son Esau, but you don't sound like my son Esau. Are you Esau?" "Oh, yes, I'm Esau." And so Isaac gave him the blessing. Esau came in a little while later, found out what Jacob had done, and determined to kill his brother Jacob. And so Rebekah, to protect her son, had him sent off to Mesopotamia under the pretense of finding a wife. And so Jacob departed from his father's tent and left. By the way, never saw Rebekah again. She died while he was gone. Boy, it's real dangerous for us as parents to meddle with the will of God. Put our plans ahead of God's plans. Start meddling with things instead of letting God be in control. Jacob was sent off, and while he was on his way, he stopped to sleep one night. While he was asleep, God gave him a vision of that ladder that reached up to heaven, picture of Jesus Christ. And Jacob made his promise, made his vow to the Lord, that if he would be with him and bless him, he would come back and give a tenth of everything to the Lord. And so that was his great promise, and that was the place called Bethel. Let me ask you something. Could God have provided for Jacob in the promised land? Yeah. Could God have provided a wife for Jacob in the promised land? Didn't God bring Rebekah all the way from Mesopotamia, all the way so Isaac could have a wife? Couldn't God have done the same thing for Jacob? But Jacob goes off into the far land where Abraham would never have sent his son. While he's there, falls in love with Rachel. But in one of the great deceptions of all time, he ends up married to Leah. That's why now at weddings, the groom always lifts the veil. Make sure it's the right one. You didn't know that came from the Bible, did you? And the whole point of this is that Jacob begins to reap what he's sown. He marries Leah. He wanted to marry Rachel. Later he marries Rachel too. Then he adds two more to the bunch. He has four wives. He has 12 sons by four different wives. His life is a soap opera. His father-in-law is ripping him off and abusing his relationship. And he spends 20 years in this far-off country out of the will of God. And his life is a soap opera of bad decisions. He's got four wives. None of them like each other. That's three too many. Four wives. None of them like each other. They're jealous of each other because Jacob likes Rachel the best. And the sons are not close to each other. It's a mixed up household. They have strange gods among them. They're worshiping idols. And all of this is happening because Jacob has left the promised land and left the will of God. And he wasted 20 years of his life out there in a far off country. And then God came to him in Genesis 31. And told him to return to Bethel. Now, we'll let the platform represent Mesopotamia. Here he is. The piano is going to represent Bethel. God said, go back to Bethel where you made the vow. Go back to that place where you made your promise. And so he gathers his family together and he heads back towards the promised land. And he gets almost to Bethel. And then he turns off and ends up over here in Shechem. Now folks, if God says go to Bethel, does that mean go to Shechem? That means go to Bethel. And here he is, he's only about 20 miles from Bethel. But 20 miles, he might as well have stayed in Mesopotamia. Because he's not where God told him to be. And while he's over here in Shechem, his one daughter Dinah goes out to see the girls of the countryside. And she ends up in a wicked relationship with a young man in the area, and they end up sleeping together outside of wedlock, and Jacob's sons are all upset about that. They came in and they slaughtered all the men of Shechem in their anger. I mean, it was a mess. Why? Because when God said, I want you to go back to Bethel, instead he turned aside and stopped 20 miles from the will of God. If he had gone back to Bethel, Dinah wouldn't have met that fella and all that stuff wouldn't have happened. Now, while he's over here in Shechem, and everything's a chaotic mess in his household. His sons are killers. One son's a whoremonger. One son slept with his father's concubine. I mean, it's just a mess. And God says, go to Bethel. That's where I told you to go in the first place. Go to Bethel. Meet with me there. Aren't you glad God gives second chances? And Jacob gathers his family together in Shechem. He said, you know what? I should have went to Bethel in the first place. I didn't. I've been gone all this time. He said, we're going back to the altar. We're going back to the place where I met God. He said, I want all your strange gods. I want all your idols. We're going to change our clothes. We're going to get ready to go back to where God is. He gathered all their idols, buried them out of sight, gathered his family together, and went over to Bethel. Can I say this, that from that point forward, Jacob lived for God? He said, preacher, what does it matter? His family's already grown. Not all of them. Joseph wasn't grown yet. See, here's a little boy named Joseph, and he's just a little kid when daddy goes back to Bethel. And he was the best of the bunch because he got to experience his dad's revival. Dad got right, and it affected Joseph's life and later Benjamin's life. But you know, it all began when he took God's second chance and went back to where God wanted him to be. Thank God for a God of second chances. That God didn't just say, I'm done with you, and you've made too many mistakes, and your family's a mess. And by the way, if you're a saved person, and you get out of God's will for your life and raise your family in the world, don't be surprised if they act like the rest of the world. And pick up a bunch of strange gods in their life, because you kept them out of the will of God. But brother, it's always best for fathers to get right and go back to the Lord. And take along as much of the family as will go. You know, it'd be nice if we could go back in time and undo mistakes or bad decisions. Wouldn't that be nice if we could time travel? Can you think of any spots along the road in your life you'd go back and do different? One day there was a teenage girl driving through a neighborhood. She was driving in reverse, around and around and around, just looking over her shoulder and driving around and around the neighborhood. Finally, the neighbors called the cops. Cops pulled her over. So what are you doing? She said, well, my parents loaned me the car, but I put too many miles on it. I'm trying to unwind it. Wouldn't you like to say, you know, I put too many miles on my life in some areas. I'd like to unwind it, but you can't. But you can always start back from where you are and go back and have a fresh start in a relationship with the Lord. So Jacob got a second chance. How about Jonah? Didn't Jonah get a second chance? God told him in Jonah 1, he said to arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But what did Jonah do? Jonah rose up and went the opposite direction. God said, go over there to Nineveh. Jonah said, I'm heading to Tarshish, far away as I can get, the other direction. And he got on the ship and started to leave to go to Tarshish. Thought he was leaving the presence of God. Can I tell you something? You never leave the presence of God. God's anywhere you go. And you think you can backslide and get away from Him, but you'll not get away from the long arm of the Lord's law. He'll find you. And while Jacob, I should have mixed a different name in so I wouldn't get him confused between these two points. While Jonah was running from the Lord, hey, God dealt with him. God had a big fish ready to swallow him. God enrolled him in Whale University, 3-day course. A 3-day course on obedience. Whale swallowed him whole. So that's not possible. That's why it's called a miracle. You know, when you put God into it, a lot of things are suddenly possible. God made this fish, whale, that could swallow him. It could do it. And it did it. And he was in the belly of this whale. And for 3 days, he held on to his stubbornness. And on the 3rd day, he finally prayed
and confessed his sin and asked God to have mercy on him. And after the third day of his stubbornness giving way and repenting, God had the fish vomit him up on dry land. But that was pleasant. And you know what the Bible says? It says in Jonah 3, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. A second chance. Now, was God out of prophets? He just didn't have anyone else, so he had to stick with Jonah? No, God was proving a point. That even when we, by our willful decisions, do the wrong thing and don't want to do the will of God, God is still ready to give us a second chance. And Jonah did. And he preached. And there was a great revival. Now, God had a plan for this preacher's life. And even though he got away from it, God had not forgotten that plan. Out in our children's church this morning, Brother Absher is preaching. And when Brother Absher got into our church, he had given up on God's plan for his life. I remember when they first came and sat over here, I think probably had 30 people in church that morning. And they sat over there. And I found out they lived in Forney. In the back of my mind, I thought, well, they'll never come back. 45-minute drive. They came back. Same day, came back that night and started coming. I don't think they missed again. And Brother Absher was called to preach as a teenager. He was part of a great tragedy down in South Texas where school buses were washed off in a flood and 10 kids were killed. Brother Absher obviously was not. And he felt like God had a plan for his life and he surrendered to preach. But after getting out of high school, went off to college and got into sports and kind of got away from God's calling for his life. Now, fast forward, and now he's in his mid-30s when he starts coming to our church. God began dealing with his heart. He resurrendered in 2007. Went to Bible college at age 34. Finished in 3 years. And now, within 6 months, he'll be Pastor Absher at Providence Baptist Church. Now, what does that show us? That shows us that even... Now, Brother Absher never went off into sin, never wrecked his testimony or things like that. He just got out of doing what God had called him to do. He wasn't off in bars and he wasn't in street gangs and things. He was just away from what God wanted him to do. Working hard, trying to get a career going, and missing out on God's plan and purpose for his life. But aren't you glad that God gives second chances? And I'm thankful for that. The God of second chances. How about Samson? Didn't Samson get a second chance at those Philistines? Now, Samson is a sad story in the Bible. Wasted potential. Here's a man who had great parents, a miraculous birth, wonderful parents, Manoah and Mrs. Manoah, had a good upbringing, had God's hand upon his life. The Spirit of God moved him at times. When the Spirit of God came upon him, he had miraculous power. He could kill 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. He did all sorts, killed a lion with his bare hands. And God gave him miraculous power. But he abused his calling with unholy living. Philistine wife, harlots, Delilah. He abused God's grace. And one day, he was in bed with Delilah. She was whining and repining about not knowing the secret to his power. And so he admitted. He said, well, if you cut my hair. See, from a child, his hair had not been cut. He'd been on a Nazirite vow from birth. His parents, his mother had placed him under that. Had never had his hair cut. Was in 7 dreadlocks. It was 7 locks. Called it 7 locks. And he said, if you cut my hair, I'll lose my power. And folks, the power was not in his hair. The power was in the vow of purity that was on his life. But he'd broken that. This just symbolized what he'd done to himself. And so when he fell asleep, she had his hair cut. And when he woke up, the Philistines were there and he ran out there. And he said, I'll just deal with them like I always do. And he swung a right and just got knocked flat. And they were all over him. He had no power on his life. He wished not that the Spirit of God was departed from him. Next thing you know, they poke out his eyes. And they yoke him up like an oxen in a mill house, just pushing the millstone around and around and around, like a circus animal. And they're just making fun of him. And finally, they bring him into a big stadium, to mock and laugh at the God of Israel. And Samson, the Bible says, the hair of his head began to grow again. And he knelt down next to the pillars and said, "Oh God," I'm going to paraphrase, "So God, please give me one more victory over these Philistines." And he pushed on the pillars and the whole house came down. And the Bible says he killed more in his death than he had in his life. Y'all believe in jailhouse conversions? Are some fake? Yeah. Are some real? Yeah. You believe that sometimes God will allow people to get in some pretty bad situations so they'll repent and get right? You think God was done with Samson? You think that Samson had one last opportunity to do something for God? Aren't you glad God gives second chances? I am. Number four, Peter got a second chance to identify himself with Christ. Now in Jesus' last hours before the cross, he told Peter, he said, "You're going to deny me three times." Peter got offended. Peter said, "I'll never deny thee." In fact, he said, "They might deny thee, I won't deny." Don't you know those other guys really appreciated that? John and Andrew and Thaddeus and the rest. Peter said, "I would never deny you. They might deny you, I wouldn't deny you." Well, who's the one that denied him? Peter. For when Jesus was taken and everything went sideways and Peter didn't know what was going on and he got scared, and next thing you know, he's next to the enemy's fire and he's warming his hands with these Roman soldiers and the Jewish people there, and one of them says, "You look like someone we've seen before. Weren't you with Jesus?" "No. I don't know what you're talking about." Another person says, "Oh, we know you're one of his disciples. You're one of them." "I don't know him. I've never been around him." Third person says, "No, I'm pretty sure I saw you with him yesterday." And Peter starts to curse and to swear, because everyone knows that Christians don't curse or swear. Began to curse and to swear to prove that he wasn't a follower of Jesus. And he cursed and he swore, like taking a legal oath, "I know not this man." Right as he said that, the rooster crowed. And Jesus was taken out of the palace and began to pass by, right as Peter said, "I do not know him." And the Bible says they looked upon him, their eyes met. And Jesus looked upon Peter right as he said, "I don't know this man." And they carried Jesus away. And the Bible says Peter went out and wept bitterly. After the resurrection, Peter was there. But then he went back to fishing. He said, "I go fishing." That didn't mean he was going to go wet a worm. It meant he was going to go back to the commercial fishing business, back to his old job. Jesus came and found him. And they sat down on the shore with some fish on the fire. And Jesus said, "Simon, lovest thou me?" "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." "Simon, lovest thou me more than these?" "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." Third time, "Simon, lovest thou me?" And the third time, the Bible says Peter was grieved. You know why? Because it clicked with him. I denied him three times. Now I've got to say I love him three times. But you know, from that time forward, Peter was never ashamed to be identified with Christ. Y'all, fast forward to Acts chapter 2. Out on the streets, how bold are we on the streets? Out on the streets with Jewish pilgrims, not a church assembly, but Jewish pilgrims there to worship in the temple, and yet Peter is up there preaching on the street. He's not afraid. He's not ashamed. He's a bold witness. Aren't you glad that God gives second chances? Maybe at some point in your life, you were ashamed to identify with Christ. You know, some of us, I worked with people. You would have never known they were a Christian. And as soon as they found out you're a Christian, then they kind of whisper to you, "I'm a Christian too." But they would never want the unsaved around them to know that they're Christians. They're happy to identify secretly with someone else who says they're a Christian, but they're ashamed of Jesus personally. And I tell you that a Christian ought never be ashamed to be a follower of Jesus Christ. You ought never be ashamed to identify with the name of Jesus Christ. So Peter got a second chance and he became a great apostle and had 3,000 saved on Pentecost and 5,000 a few days later, and God used him for decades, and he wrote 2 books of the Bible, because God is a God of second chances. One of my favorite little verses in the Bible, after the resurrection, the angel said, "Go tell the apostles and Peter." Why did he include Peter in that? Probably because Peter's over here sitting to himself thinking, "I'm not an apostle anymore. That's you guys. You didn't deny him. I denied him 3 times. I'm not an apostle anymore." And so the angel says, make sure that you tell the apostles and Peter, make sure he understands in particular that he needs to be there because I'm going to give him a second chance. Well, how about John Mark? John Mark got a second chance in ministry. Now, John Mark was the nephew of Barnabas. When Paul and Barnabas went on their missionary journey, Mark jumped on, probably for the fun and the adventure and the excitement of seeing strange new places and being involved in missionary ministry. You know what he found instead? Work. Hunger. Beatings. Prison. Threats. And it wasn't long into that first missionary journey where all of a sudden John Mark's gone. He left. Where did he go? He went back to Jerusalem. Why did he go back to Jerusalem? Because that's where his mom's house was. Went home to mom. And later on, you know, Paul and Barnabas, they finished their journey, and later on, when they're going to go on their second journey, or maybe it was the third journey, I'll look it up later. On a later journey, Barnabas said, "I want to take John Mark with me again." Paul said, "No, he quit, he left us, we're not taking him a second time." And the division was so sharp that great team, that great friendship, was divided asunder, and Barnabas took John Mark, and Paul took Silas, and they went their separate ways and never came back together again. But fast forward 20 years, Paul is writing his last epistle, 2 Timothy. He's in his last imprisonment. He's about to die. And he says to Timothy, "Bring Mark, for he is profitable to me now in the ministry." You know, isn't it something how we want to throw people away just because they aren't where we want them to be right now? You know, when it comes to the ministry, some guys don't need to be anywhere near the ministry. Just a fact. Some guys, they just need a little more time to grow up. You know the funny thing about growing up? You can't make anyone do it. You just have to do it. You can't say, "Well, today I'm going to grow up." I was talking to one of our teenagers. He surrendered to preach. He wants to learn how to be a preacher. And so I gave him some material, a little book that I wrote years ago. And I said, "You just have to remember, right now you're a teenager. Just be a teenager. You got to grow up. Only way to grow up is one day at a time, amen? You don't have to be a man right now. You're 14 years old. Just be a 14-year-old. Be a good son. Be a good church member. Be a good witness. When you get a chance to preach, I'll help you write an outline. Just get a chance to preach, you preach. You got to grow up. You're just a kid. Amen?" That doesn't mean that in the future God's not going to use them. I believe God will use them. And sometimes we just have to learn to be more patient. Now, some guys make mistakes. I should say all guys make mistakes. The question is, when you get knocked down or when you flop, do you get back up? I'll finish with this story. It's from an article I read this week by a former Navy SEAL, describing a boxing match in 1923 between Jack Dempsey and Angel Firpo. He was Argentinian. And Jack Dempsey was called the Manassas Mauler, and Firpo was called the Wild Bull of the Pampas. He was a big giant of a man, and Jack Dempsey was a great boxer at the time, and this fight was for the World Heavyweight Championship. Back when that meant as much to people at that time like the Super Bowl does now. Everyone followed boxing. And so the place was packed, and they were announcing it over the radio, and just this great giant fight. Toward the close of the first round, Firpo managed to pin Dempsey against the ropes, and with a combination of vicious punches, knocked him through the ropes. Dempsey went backwards out of the ring, landed on the reporter's table, bashed his head against something on the reporter's table, was bleeding out and was going to miss the 10 count. The reporters picked him up, pushed him back in the ring. And boy, the wild bull jumped all over, was hammering him again, and finally the ring The bell rang mercifully, and the match was over, the round was over. In the second round, Dempsey came out, and in 30 seconds had knocked the guy out. Is there a lesson there? Knocked out of the ring, beaten down, but he got back up and became one of the most famous boxers of his day. I gotta like someone who gets knocked down or flops, but gets back up and comes at it again. And John Mark, you gotta give him credit. He got back up and he came at it again, and he was profitable in the ministry. Aren't you glad God's a God of second chances?